Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Raven and the Blues special edition, the podcast version. You'll hear a pre-seed version of this on the Raven and the Blues, but this is the full set. We've got three young guys, and really sort of the future of the blues in the 21st century, following on from Jeff Beck and John Mayall and Peter Green. Builders Blues Caravan, each with their own careers, and good careers, that's Ian Parker, Ainsley Lister and Eha Littinen, have all come together and are working as Blues Caravan. And they've got a new album out called Pilgrimage, and they're here on the studio on the Thames, and they're going to play and talk. So what are you going to start with, gentlemen?
The first song is a track that I wrote for the Pilgrimage album. This is called the Mississippi Lawnmower Blues. '97, I ain't drawing no pension. All my teeth are my own, ain't got no ego extension. But I'm here, yes, I'm here for you to see. That's why you, oh, you love to hate me. So sad and lonely.
Please excuse me if I am a little pale. I didn't eat my breakfast in the county jail. I was born 7 6, I went to school. Ain't superstitious, didn't know here, I know you. But I'm here, Lord, I'm here. All you to see. And it's why, love, that's why you love to hate me.
Not like me. This is now the 1923. If I had a penny for every time I heard, you're way too young, but you figured real good. I'd buy me an island, 'cause I could, and you know I would. That's why you, oh, you love to hate me. And you're so sad and lonely. Yeah. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Excellent. Taken from the album Blues Pilgrimage. And the three of you, was it easy when you came together? I know that Ains and Ian, you had worked together before, hadn't you? But what about for you coming into this group, two guys who already knew each other and a different nationality as well? How easy was it? Were you?
Well, it has been a challenge, of course. There have been so many new different situations for me. I've been mainly touring in Finland. I have released in Finland three albums before this one. And from this experience, I have learned a lot, and I really enjoyed doing these gigs, and I'm very looking forward to our next tour in Scandinavia.
Right.
So, yeah.
Part of the concept behind it was that Thomas Roof of Roof Records, who's way downstairs making your sandwiches, his idea was to bring you together, and more importantly, then take you to the home of the blues in the States. Mm-hmm. And that really, I think I can gather from the sleeve notes, was quite a changing time for you guys, was it?
Absolutely, yeah. I think it was Thomas originally sort of sold the project to me. He on the basis of it being like a pilgrimage, hence the name of the album in the end. But he said, I want to see what happens if you take three European artists and send them to the places of historical importance in terms of the origins of the blues and see what effect that has on you. And he really built it up in everyone's minds as this kind of like a pilgrimage, like a religious experience, which I at the time thought was probably overstating it a bit, but I thought, well, it's going to be fun to go to America. But in fact, he was really spot on with that, because it really felt like a really profound experience to me, and it certainly changed the way I'm looking at music these days. You know,
did some of the tracks on the album did they come from that session in the States? Sort of, did the influences come therefore from the writing?
Everything was pre-written.
Right.
Thomas told the three of us to go away and write three or four songs, so everything was pre-written. But you know, the concept that we all had in our own heads about how those songs would sound, we conceptualized that based on our European experience. So the songs I wrote, I thought would turn out completely differently, because I just imagine, I know I've got plenty of experience of going into studios in Britain, you know, so I know how that works. But when we actually got there, the studio experiences and the influence of the musicians did, you know, brought a hell of a lot to the table, you know, which we didn't expect. So I think, although the songs were pre-written, I think that they would have sounded very different if we'd recorded them in England.
So you took pre-written songs to America. Ains, for you, has it changed the way you write now with your experiences?
It's not changed the way I write. It's definitely changed the way I'll work in studios in the future, because it was such a different experience. I mean, we were recorded in two studios. We were recorded in Clarksdale, Mississippi, and in Memphis, Ardent Studios in Memphis. Now, Memphis was a lot more what I'm used to. It was, you know, Ardent Studios, obviously a very famous studio. Mm. You know, it's got all, you know, the latest equipment, you know, top of the range stuff, and it's a very nice studio. You know, it's got air conditioning and all this kind of thing, which is kind of, you know, the typical European, you know, clean, sterile studio. But Mississippi was like, it was, you know, you actually had, you sort of walked in and you thought, well, where can I sit? It was absolutely filthy. It was, you know, the smell was pretty bad, and there was no toilet, and it was like really, it was quite run down when we first got there. And I thought, well, we can't record an album here. And you know, and the session guard, I mean, we arrived at, like, I think it was about 10:30, 11 o'clock on the first morning, and the guys who were, like, the bass player and drummer were laying on sofas drinking beer and smoking joints. And I said, hey, you know, and it's like, and these sort of three Europeans walking, you know, very sort of clean cut, and like, oh, okay, is this where we make the blues album? And you know, and it took a bit of getting used to, but you know, I think, you know, certainly for me anyway, it was I'd been there about an hour and a half, and I thought, yeah, I really like this. It was just so very much, you know, do it in one or two takes, and if it's a bit rough around the edges, well, you know, that's how it's supposed to be, because it's blues. And it was just such a laid-back, relaxed attitude towards the whole recording process that most of the time, I'd say 95% of the time, I completely forgot it was being recorded. So there's none of that red light fever or anything like that, and I think it's all the better for it. You know, it's like a warts and all sort of recording, certainly the Mississippi stuff, but it's cool. So, you know, the next time I go into the studio, I'm certainly not going to be as uptight as I normally am, you know, about, you know, having everything, it's got to be right, and it's got to be this, that, and the other, so, yeah.
It's the Raven and the Blues with Blues Caravan guesting. You can hear, because we're quite close to Heathrow Airport, the occasional planes in the background. You can hear the boss making sandwiches as well. What are we going to have next for you guys?
This song is a song that I wrote for the album. We recorded this one in Memphis, and it's called Time Bears Witness. Every man knows something hurts him to the core. Every woman knows something make angel play hard. Every child learns something turns his pure soul black. Every child goes somewhere from where there ain't no turning back. Time bears witness to our sins. Listen, I believe it, friends. Time bears witness till the end. Oh. There was a marble stone whereupon we lay. No one else had been there. We'd take it to the grave. But as time watched over, it faded in the sun. To give love became easy, to take it took too long. Time bears witness to our sins. Listen up, believe it, friends. Time bears witness till the end. Oh, oh, oh. But now don't fear, 'cause it's only just begun. We can beat the ticking of the clock. All we have to do is keep on moving and never stop. Thank you.
Blues, trying to work out where the boss is. Thomas!
Tomcat!
Have you finished those sandwiches yet, mate?
We need you.
Come and sit next to me. Thomas Roof of Roof Records. It was your idea to bring these people together, take them to America. What gave you the concept? What made you want to do it?
Well, I had the feeling that taking them back to the roots, to the soil of this American art form, would be a great, inspiring situation.
Was there a risk it may not have worked? Because, I mean, you're dealing with three individual egos, three artists, you know, they don't normally always get on. So did you feel you were going to be like a ringmaster, in a sense, you know, keeping them in control?
I wouldn't say ringmaster, but there's always is a risk, because you never know how the chemistry is going to be and how the personality is going to clash.
Mm-hmm. And were there any difficult times for you?
Actually, this trip was a pure joy, pleasure, very spiritual experience. It was very, very warming, actually inspiring for me to see three artists, three different personalities get together, create music together, and come up with something that's, I consider, something really beautiful and some of the best recording that Roof Records has ever done.
That's a high accolade, because you've made some fine recordings over the years. What about for you on Blues Caravan, though? You've got the boss travelling with you. Is that a problem?
No, it has been very enjoyable to have Thomas Roof with us all the time.
Actually, they've been very polite.
Yeah.
No, actually, I think for me, I mean, Thomas is actually a really easygoing guy, so there's not really any real pressure. It's not like really like having a boss there, but having said that, because he's around, I find the fact that he's around for all of the shows means that if you're having one of those days when you're a bit tired, and maybe, I'm sure it's the same for most people, but I'll admit to it, sometimes if I'm on my own tours and the boss isn't around, if I'm a bit tired one night, I might not quite be able to push myself to give absolutely everything, you know.
Yeah.
But I mean, I try my best, but you know, but with Thomas there, it seems to kick in every night, because you can't, you know, you can't sort of slack off. But I think that's a good thing, you know.
Is it going to be like marriage coming to an end, when you guys have to, not split up, but you know, when the tour comes to an end?
Well, I think we're basically touring this year, so
all year.
Yeah,
all
so
right.
We have a gigs until the end of 2006.
It's longer than a marriage, then.
So
yeah.
It's longer than
most marriages, yeah.
All right, so okay. Well, what we'll
make it to the end.
They'll make it to the end.
The Blues Caravan last year almost didn't.
Really?
Those three artists we had out there last year did not get along together so well.
But they were all girls, weren't they?
There were three girls. Three queens.
Thomas, you should know, never put three girls together.
I learned the hard way, you know.
I have my own princes here.
What are we going to
do
now?
This year has been pure pleasure.
Excellent.
Really enjoyable working with three young, upcoming, creative souls.
Excellent. What are we going to do next?
Well, next song I wrote.
Yes,
and
you
it's
did.
It's called Dreamland Blues. And I would say that maybe we're kind of all missing to the Mississippi Clarksdale environment in this song.
Okay.
Listen to it, you know.
Cool.
Down. Hey, baby,
into the caravan. Hey, baby, into the caravan. Got it a place for you.
Mississippi place like in London.
Yeah, I guess so. The Tony Joe White did a session here about a year and a half ago. He came in the summer though. Yeah. And what we do in the summer is we take you out by boat afterwards. It's going to get a bit cold tonight, so we won't do it. But if you guys come back, we'll do a boat trip as well, because Pink Floyd, David Gilmour's got a houseboat recording studio about 400 yards from here, and so we sort of go around there and things. Ooh. But Tony Joe White was suddenly saying, hey, I should have brought my bass rod. And he was talking about going fishing, but he decided it was quite a bit narrower than the Mississippi. Yes. I know that when you're on the Blues Caravan, it's a little bit like going back sort of 40 years ago to a group called the Steam Packet that were put together by an agent then called Giorgio Gomelski. And he brought the talents of John Baldry, Rod Stewart and Julie Driscoll together with Brian Auger. And each of them did a short piece on stage and then they came together as an entourage. Is that effectively what you guys are doing on the Blues Caravan? Are you sort of working individually and then collectively?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The show starts out with us sitting exactly like this, playing acoustic guitars, just the three of us, and then after that we all take it in turns to do a half an hour set with our bands. So we have, there's an element of our own music in the show, and then we all get together at the end to play more songs from Pilgrimage electrically with the band. Yeah. And it's a little bit like, for me, I feel it feels a bit like being in theatre or something, because the show didn't ever stop. This was Thomas's concept. He wanted it to be like one of those old 60s soul reviews or something,
yeah,
whereby the show never ever stops. So every time there's a change of, the drummers have to change equipment or something like this, we have to distract the audience from the stage and take the attention into the audience, and we do some a cappella singing and some walking around the room with guitars, doing lots of fun things that happen throughout, so that it never stops. And
So, yes. but when you're doing your set, Ainsley, do you get a break as well? Do you go backstage and things? Or?
I usually stand out front and watch. Actually. We've done like 25 shows so far, and it's like, it's because every night it's different anyway. Obviously, you sort of feed off the audience as a performer, and so every night, you know, I always go out front and just mingle, you know, and but yeah, obviously, you know, when Ian and Eria are doing their sets, I get the chance to relax and stuff, and then, yeah.
And has it changed, Eria, has it changed the way that you play, having seen these guys play? Has it changed your stage work at
all?
Well,
I think we all got influences from each other in a way, so guys, they have more kind of a blues rock touch for the they playing, and I think I've been kind of adapting a little bit of it to my own stuff, and yeah. Well, I don't know how you guys feel, but I think it's everybody has kind
Absolutely.
Of infected to each other, which is a good thing, and it's supposed to be like that. You should, you know, just
blues
absorb it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what we're going to do now then. To close the set, because you've done the three numbers really, which are part of your acoustic set, as those have been to see you, can we just throw it open now and just say, guys, do you want to do something? Yeah.
You want to do the acapella?
Gotta have some rain, yeah?
Oh, we can do the acapella.
That would be
yeah, that'd be nice.
That's a beautiful part of the acapella.
Okay.
You
we could do
like
that. Yeah,
yeah,
whatever you like. Yeah.
Let's
yeah.
try that one.
This is an old Essie Mae Brooks song that we do in the show. It's called Rain in Your Life. You gotta have some rain in your life. You gotta have some rain in your life. You gotta have some rain in your life to appreciate the sunshine.
Well, I've been picked out and I've been picked on, but that's alright. I said that's alright.
You gotta have some rain in your life. You gotta have some rain in your life. You gotta have some rain. Appreciate the sunshine.
The rain. Keep on falling, falling down. Yeah, I said
the rain.
It keeps
keep
on falling. Appreciate
the sunshine.
Absolutely wonderful. The sounds of Eher Littinen and Ian Parker and Ainsley Lister, collectively Blues Caravan, and their live set here at the Raven and the Blues on the River Thames. Thanks so much, the three of you, for coming in. This is the complete set. You will hear a pre-seed version on the Raven and the Blues. So if you subscribe to that as well, just skip through the relevant 10-minute section. But it's been really absolutely wonderful. Thank you so much.